and conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, because they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign. Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. We oft hear about how the millennial generation is disconnected or apathetic, not interested in politics. Well, today's program, we present another view, and we're focusing on the second annual Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University, where over 35 community activists are collectively participating in a week-long series of social justice events. These were all planned by student activists. Today, we interview these activists from various clubs, also from Vets for Peace, Law Enforcement Brutality, and the Peace and Justice Center. Also, best-selling author David Talbot joins us to cover the history of the national security state in the U.S. and the significance of social justice movements. He'll be one of the keynote speakers. Stay with us. Unthinkable crimes perpetrated by criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguised under the guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fall for little boys, and the weapons manufactured paid for by attacks upon the bridges and the levees and the mines collapsing. All the prisons build the capacity citizens. In the times for the master thief, divine conquer, steal a masterpiece. Open your eyes and realize what's happening. Times running out the reach, all potential fame at the table, then you're probably on the menu. We got that love. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. On today's show, we're going to be looking at the theme of social justice. We'll be talking with a number of student organizers and participants and activists who are taking part in a week-long series of events at Sonoma State University, March 21 to 25th. And we'll also be joined by best-selling author David Talbot, who's going to be speaking at the event. Medea Benjamin will be there, KPFA's Davey D. So we've got a pretty incredible lineup. But today we're going to be talking to a lot of other people that are participating in it and some of the actual organizers. And many of these people are Peter Phillips students. And so I'm going to turn it over to Peter, and he's going to introduce some of the folks we're talking to here today. Peter?
Our first two students joining us today, Elizabeth Castagnon, is president of the Sociology Social Justice Activism Club. And joining her is Bobby Ramirez, who designed the beautiful poster that we have for the program and is an activist with the Social Justice Club, Sociology Social Justice Club. Both are sociology majors at Sonoma State University. So, Elizabeth, are you there?
Hi, Peter. I am here.
That's wonderful. Elizabeth, this is Social Justice Week at Sonoma State. It's the second time it's happened. You have worked very hard putting together a 30-hour program with speakers from 25 different groups and various movies and films and events. The week acts as a class at Sonoma State so people can earn 1 unit credit. But additionally, it's a bringing together of a lot of different folks with a big rally. Why have so many people involved in social justice all together in one place?
I think the most important part about having so many people is just knowing that there's power with numbers. Like, there really is. And it's not just one issue that we're covering. It's a variety of issues. And a lot of different groups are affected, and I think it's important to have social cohesion and unity amongst activist groups and students, and to know that if one group is going against something or is standing up for an issue, then it should be multiple groups also supporting them. I think what's important about our tabling event is that we not only connect the students to all these different groups, but we connect other groups on campus and off campus to each other in case that they would like to support each other or participate in other events that they would be having.
So you had themes for each day. Talk mm-hmm. about how you developed those themes.
The way we developed the themes, we looked at it for what are like the most important issues going on today. And so we're starting off our week with our just the kickoff, which is a Monday, which covers a couple different domestic issues, but more like a kickoff. And then Tuesday we have women's justice, and we on campus, students are required to do a Title IX exercise through the school. And we thought, with so much going on with all these movements with women and just equality and feminism, we thought that would be a great theme to cover. And so that's how we developed it for Tuesday. For Wednesday, we have domestic affairs. And we decided to do domestic affairs because of everything that's going on in terms of Black Lives Matter and police brutality and all these other long-standing issues that cover so much. And there's just so much going on in the U.S. that not that many people are aware of or don't have much access to. And then for Thursday, we have foreign affairs. And that stemmed off a lot of what's happening in the Middle East and in Syria and in Palestine. And for Friday, we have documentary day. And that's just a whole culmination of covering, like, different themes of the week. We've just came together and with the themes to, like, cover what we think is important and what's going on now.
Bobby Ramirez, you're going to do an hour presentation of your own music. Tell us a little bit about that.
Performing on Tuesday, the Women's Justice Day. Very honored to be a part of that. I'm a social major, so a lot of my music, I would say, is a conscious hip-hop with messages that I learn. I tend to incorporate what I learn in my social classes into my music just to bring an awareness to people who might not be exposed to these classes, can't afford to go to school, but if they're into hip-hop and they're intrigued by the music and they hear these terms, And phrases that I'm using, might be compelled to dig a little deeper and find out what I'm saying to get a greater understanding. So, for example, I use a metaphor in one of my tracks says, breads and circuses, dumb people get the fame. If we perpetuate the same, things will never change. And what I'm referring to is back in Roman times, they used to give the people just enough bread so they weren't starving, so they weren't going to revolt. And they would entertain them with circuses, you know, whether it be gladiators fighting, you know, maybe lions, and they would entertain the people. And people think, oh yeah, that was back in Roman times. But if you look, people are so wrapped up in the mainstream media, you know, what's going on with the latest celebrities or the hottest sports or what's the latest fashion trend. It's the same thing. It's trends. And then you have people also in the country who are working minimum wage, you know, they're working 40, 50 hours a week just to be broke at the end of the week, you know. But in comparison to other places in the world where they live off a couple dollars a day, they're doing okay. So, you know, it's kind of playing off people's in comparison to other places rather than focusing on a unity of all people, which I think Liz was talking about that with breaking down the overall theme of Social Justice Week when she's saying, you know, it's about unity and bringing all these people together. It is about the unity of the masses, the lower class people who are struggling, you know, just enough scraps to survive while these elites are living these lavish lifestyles and we're just trying to survive, like, you know, trying to get through. So my music, I incorporate things like that. So it's not just entertaining, but I try to kick knowledge to people through my music.
Well, Bobby Ramirez, we're going to play a track from your disc here in a few moments. But before we do that, let's go back to you, Elizabeth Castanon. Tell us a little bit more about, A, how did you really get involved and get interested in doing this? This is a massive program. This is a week-long program. It's the second annual one at the university. And also, after that, tell us, what do you hope to achieve by this overall?
I originally got involved with the club around this time last year, at the beginning of the second semester. And I was just a regular sophomore coming in, just checking out some club meeting advertisement that I got in my email from the school. And that's how I got in touch with Shelby and the members from last year's sociology club. And from there, I just went to a lot of the events that they had at Social Justice Week last year. And me and the other club officers from this semester were just so inspired by everything like we saw and just like the club and thinking if we can bring awareness to other students, then what, like we should, like we have not an obligation, but maybe an obligation to like and show these students that these issues that we're talking about and that's happening, they also connected us in some way. And so that's really how I got involved. Starting this last semester, I became president after being treasurer, but taking on this huge event, it's been a lot of work, but I thought the reason I did it is because, just like how I said earlier, is that I wanted to bring some type of awareness to students on campus. I know for me personally, I come from a low-income family. My family's always struggled for money. I am a first-generation college student. I am more prone to, like, know about issues that are going on because they sometimes will affect me directly. What other students might not have that opportunity. So that's part of the reason why I want to, like, have more students be aware of what's going on and why I'm taking on such a huge event like this.
It is a huge event, and you can go to projectcensored.org and check out the schedule, the wonderful poster that you all designed. And again, I think one of the best things about this is really student-generated and student-driven, and that's quite heartening, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Bobby Ramirez, we're going to play a track from your CD right now. It's called Change It. Can you tell us very, very briefly what's going on in this track?
The theme to that song is basically saying that there's no superheroes coming to save us. We can't wait for the next person. We got to step up. If we see injustice, we got to speak up. If we see something wrong with the world, we got to unite and we got to fix it. The world's a dark place, but that's just how we made it. It's up to me and you when we're going to change it. So that's basically the theme of the song.
Well, Bobby Ramirez, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to play that song right now. And Elizabeth Castanon, thank you for your efforts on Social Justice Week.
Thank you guys for having us.
My craft, got my pen and my pad. Writing about these scars is like pulling off a scab. I never let it heal, I always make it bleed. Got your name on my sleeve. 3 long years, I still miss you at Cervado. Drinking for the pain like solutions in a bottle. Just last year, my Theo left too. Now what we gon' do? Now what we gon' do? As we get older, the days go by quicker, so they seem shorter. The nights are getting colder. Some get timid, but I feel I'm getting bolder. Got you stuck on my mind, got a chip on my shoulder. Pour out a little liquor for all the fallen soldiers and all the little kids on the Gaza Strip. The media never shows it, and the news will never say it. When it comes to humanity, it's us that's gotta save it. It's us that's gotta save it. The world's a dark place, but that's just how we made it. It's up to me and you when we gon' change it. The world's a dark place, but that's just how we made it. It's up to me and you when we gon' change it. The world's a dark place, but that's just how we made it.
That's the music of Bobby Ramirez. The track is called Change It. This is the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. We're going to continue our theme today on social justice and Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University. We are joined now by members of Veterans for Peace who will be participating in the social justice activities. We're joined by Bill Simon and Tom Meyer. And here is Peter Phillips to introduce our guests to you. Peter?
Vets for Peace are one of the 25 groups that are presenting at Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University, which is open to the public to come and attend. Bill Simon is president of Vets for Peace, and Tom Meyer is the treasurer of Sonoma County Veterans for Peace. They are both veterans of the Vietnam War and are presenting on the issue of veteran suicide and the hidden costs of war. Bill, are you there?
Yes, I am, Peter.
Hi, Bill and Tom.
Thank you very much, Peter.
You're putting up a display at the beginning of the week. Talk about that display.
Yeah, actually, Tom designed it. You want to take that one?
We created a display, a visual display, to sort of depict the 22 suicides a day. And we came up with X's, white X's, that we actually splattered with some red paint just to show the violent nature of the suicides. And we also have a banner that helps display that. So we've recently just gotten some national recognition for this display, and we hope to take it from venue to venue. And we really appreciate you letting us bring this to Sonoma State.
You're welcome. And you're both participating in a workshop later that week, along with many, many others. Bill, talk a little bit about what you're planning to do that hour that you're going to be addressing these issues.
We're going to start with talking about the suicide epidemic of 22 veterans killing themselves on average each day, which is 8,000 each year, one suicide every 65 minutes. And, you know, as shocking as that sounds, it's really a very low estimate, because for that to be counted, it has to say on the certificate, number one, that you're a veteran, which is frequently missed, and then the second thing, it has to be a designated suicide. You have to be able to determine that it's clearly a suicide. So that means things like drug overdoses, single car accidents, alcohol-related deaths, suicide by cop. None of that is included unless there was a letter saying I'm killing myself. So bottom line is that's a very, very low estimate. As horrendous as that sounds, 22 per day, it's a low estimate.
Bill Simon, of course, Veterans for Peace is a national organization.
International.
Yes, international. Yes, thank you for the correction. So can you talk about, I mean, you do these kind of outreaches and workshops, and there is, of course, chapters all over the country, all over the world. But often it's the case that the corporate news media don't seem to cover these issues very much. We've certainly covered them at Project Censored. In your view, given how you're very connected to these issues, have you seen any real change in the tide of media coverage around veterans' issues, veteran suicides, and these types of things? And if so, do you think that what you're all doing has some impact on that, or has it really been a hard hill to climb?
I would say both are true. It's been a very hard hill to climb, and I'm hearing more about the 22 veteran suicides now than I ever used to. This has been a 13-year process. They've known this for 13 years, and it's continued. As a matter of fact, some say it's 23 now. But I do hear some talk about it. It's not like it's a completely censored issue, the specific suicide issue. So, yeah, overall, I think we're making a dent, but it's slow going, and there's a lot of resistance. The criticism we receive frequently is that we're not patriotic. If we would be more patriotic, we wouldn't be bringing the cost of war up, which is another topic that we're covering, by the way, the hidden cost of war.
Tom Meyer, what besides the 22 veterans deaths per day, what are some of the other hidden costs of the war? We know that over $8 trillion is spent since we first invaded in the Middle East and continues to rise. What is the real cost every day to people in our country?
Peter, as you know, our national debt is approaching something like $20 trillion, and we borrow most of that money to pay for our war. And this perpetual mindset that we have about spending money that we don't have to keep the war going, it's not sustainable, absolutely not sustainable. War is creating just havoc. It's not a way for peace. It's just simply not a way to do peace.
Bill Simon, back to you. You are going to be speaking on this panel. You're going to be talking about, you just mentioned a couple of things that you're talking about. So one, of course, is the veteran suicides. Another one is sort of some public backlash, people criticizing veterans that are critical of foreign policy and wars. And one might think that of all groups, veterans certainly have earned a right to be critical of these policies that put them in harm's way. What other issues are you addressing in terms of veterans, VA issues or health issues or access issues? What other things do you often discuss when you go out and try to enlighten people about vets' issues?
The general cost of war, which, it can be PTSD, Agent Orange, depleted uranium, traumatic brain injury. There's a lot of costs that aren't really figured into the price we pay for war. By the way, I saw the Michael Moore film, and if you look at that, he illustrates the huge price we pay in terms of people not getting the services they deserve.
His film, Where to Invade Next?
Exactly.
Yeah, the newest film, right?
Bill, I think also we need to mention, too, truth in recruiting, which is a big part of how we're trying to approach younger people thinking about a military career.
We're also, this is what we're covering, we're having a person that actually tried to kill himself in Vietnam. He's going to tell his story. We also have the clinical director of Community Support Network, they're just starting a program now for treatment of trauma victims and PTSD that results from that. He's going to talk about treatment. So those are the topics that we're going to be covering.
You are all part of a Social Justice Week, and there's like 25 other organizations participating. When you think of social justice, and some of these problems are not just small local issues, we're really talking on a national scale. How are Vets for Peace national in their scope, and or international for that matter?
Our mission is to basically abolish war as an instrument of national policy, right? And to raise public awareness of the cost of war, both war and militarism in all its forms, which ties us in with Black Lives Matter and the militarization of law enforcement. And then we advocate for justice for veterans and victims of war, which gets into, like I said before, the Agent Orange victims. I mean, there's people being born today to Americans that were in Vietnam, and their kids are
deformed as a result of that Agent Orange. And in Vietnam, it's much, much worse. And we do have, I'm happy to say, a very rich program dealing with Agent Orange and Agent Orange cleanup, because there's still what they refer to as hot spots in Vietnam that has dioxin in the water. You can test it, and then there it is. So those are some of the things we're working on.
You mentioned being impacted by the people who challenge your patriotism, and it would seem to me that a great deal of patriotism is based or amplified by the continuing insecurity that the media portrays relative to our nation and terrorism and that. I'm talking specifically about an ad I saw on TV where there's this young family, a three-year-old girl, they're in the middle of the street, and they're kind of looking around, look a little bit concerned, and then they're surrounded by Navy personnel, and they take an aerial shot, and there's all these different men and women in uniform, Marines and Navy and SEALs and all of this surrounding them. So this is an ad on national television that's really about protection. And do you think that sometimes it means to be unpatriotic, you're not thinking we should protect America? Is that what they mean?
Well, you know, we're bombing, I believe, at seven countries right now. Right,
we have at least,
and we have bases, 1,000 bases in 175 nations. I think anything that they can do, is my opinion, that increases the fear and the willingness of people to spend, do military spending, and support that process. It helps with the global dominance mission of the empire. Personally, that's how I feel about it.
So, Bill Simon, Tom Mayer, you're veterans. You were in Vietnam. Bill, you had some post-traumatic stress that you were involved in, which led you to a career in being a clinical psychologist. You know, that impact on individuals, but then also now you're joined together with other veterans from all over the country to try to end war, to say no to this, and to really press that, put that message out in a collective way, and how that impacts all these other social justice issues. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Tom, how long have you been involved in Vets for Peace?
I am a fairly new member of Veterans for Peace. I have worked at various forms of peace work, but I gravitated towards Veterans for Peace because they had a message. I think I finally found my tribe because we are concerned about hopefully ending war.
We must have lost Bill. Tom, are you still with us?
I'm still with us.
Okay, out of time. And
okay.
You're going to all be present at Social Justice Week. You're going to have your veterans suicide display up on Monday.
We will be doing tabling on Monday, and then hopefully we'll be able to take our display up on Wednesday.
Certainly Social Justice Week is a model for what we think should be happening on every campus, every community around the country, and involving local justice folks.
I agree, Peter, and thank you so much for including us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thanks to Tom Mayer. Thanks to Bill Simon for joining us of Veterans for Peace. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. This is the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. The program's theme today is on social justice, and we're talking about a social justice week that's at Sonoma State University starting Monday, March 21st through 25th. There'll be a number of groups and speakers there, including Medea Benjamin next Friday, Davey D of KPFA on Wednesday. Project Censored will be there as well. You can see the entire schedule online at projectcensored.org. And also, given that this program airs on 32 stations around the country, we want people all over that if they're interested in learning how to put events like this together or how to get in touch with the people that we work with, definitely contact us through projectcensored.org, because these are folks that really want to get the word out and they really are passionate about social justice issues and equity issues. So we encourage people to contact us through projectcensored.org. After this musical break, we're going to be joined by best-selling author David Talbot. He'll be speaking with us Monday night at Sonoma State University. Stay with us.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about good things to come, and I believe it could be something has begun. Oh, out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come on, take me home again. Oh, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the
to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding loud. Friends too, because it's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. Oh, come and join the living, it's not so far from you.
Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. Today's show, the theme is social justice. We're looking at a series of events taking place at Sonoma State University, and our next guest has been with us before on the Project Censored Show. Our next guest is David Talbot. He's the author of The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the Rise of America's Secret Government. Talbot is the founder and former editor of Salon, was senior editor at Mother Jones, and the features editor at San Francisco Examiner. He's the author of New York Times bestseller Brothers, Hidden History of the Kennedy Years. David Talbot, welcome back to the Project Censored Show.
Great to be here, Mickey. Thank you.
David, you have been doing incredible work on issues from the deep state and telling our untold histories. Your latest book, The Devil's Chessboard, really is the romp through the post-World War II years of the rise of the national security state. And in fact, your subtitle on the rise of America's secret government is quite telling. And you'll be with us on Monday night to give a talk. Can you tell listeners what you're going to get into?
I want to talk really about what's going on today, Mickey. I mean, we have this reign of lawlessness in our political culture. And, you know, we see it's only getting worse with the rhetoric of the Republican campaign, presidential campaign. And we have the leading Republican candidate, Donald Trump, now openly calling for yet more criminality, more waterboarding and torture in violation of international and human rights law. And this all began, this reign of lawlessness in Washington at the highest levels of power, back during the Cold War, as I write about in my book, The Devil's Chessboard, with the reign of intelligence officials like Alan Dulles, who pretty much did whatever they wanted to in defiance of American democracy, in defiance of American presidents. So there's nothing new we're seeing today, really, with this. But, you know, Donald Trump is just making it more blatant and more brazen than ever.
David Talbot, particularly given the rise of Trump, it's almost like America's reality TV show that this has turned into. I mean, he's gone from worldwide wrestling or WWE, where he was not long ago, to these stump speeches invoking violence and spewing xenophobic rhetoric and so forth. I mean, it really is almost as if we're kind of watching this on the screen in front of us in bread and circus fashion. What do you make of some of the commentary that's been happening of late about some reactions to this and allusions to fascist movements, particularly Mussolini and cult of personality?
I absolutely see that parallel. I was speaking with Chris Hedges, the great dissident writer and intellectual, at his home in Princeton, New Jersey, for a new book that I'm working on. And Chris sees this parallel as well. You know, there's been, I think, a creeping fascism at work sort of in the shadows of American political culture for years now. We all know that the Republican elites, among others, have been exploiting the racism and intolerance and anti-Muslim hysteria for years now through code and in the shadows and all that. And now, of course, Trump has this sort of savage wisdom to be using it even in a much more blunt way now and destroying the Republican pact to keep this kind of quiet and hush-hush in the process. He's coming out of the closet with it. So there are parallels between today's America, tragically, and Weimar Germany. America may not have suffered the sort of huge calamity that World War I had on post-war Germany in the 1920s and 30s, but certainly the 2008 stock market crash and the, you know, disastrous economic results of that continue to ripple through America, particularly in the industrial heartland and in pockets where, you know, people are not protected by either working for the government or as or lobbyists or, you know, on corporate welfare. The people who are the victims of this economic crash are resentful, and they've been sold out again and again by both parties, and Trump is seen as their avenging angel. He's, of course, morphed trouble, and he would represent a disastrous turn for these people. He's a billionaire bully who doesn't really care about their welfare. All he cares about is his own ego and his cult of personality. And he's so amoral that he's willing to use some of the darkest forces buried in America's psyche, the racism, the violence, the imperialism, the criminality, and just bring it out in the open and celebrate it. And what's frightening, of course, is the way that the American media has gone along with it for its ratings.
Well, yeah, see, Les Moonves, yeah, CBS said that Trump's bad for the country, but great for CBS.
Yeah, I mean, they're right out front about it. So, I mean, you know, I guess you might have said the same if you were running a big radio network in Munich or Berlin in 1930s Germany. Hey, that's Hitler's.
It's pretty dangerous,
but boy, he's great for our ratings.
It's pretty frightening, and I mean, this isn't, you know, Bertram Gross, Friendly Fascism, Robert Paxton, his work on Anatomy of Fascism, Naomi Wolf wrote a work not many years ago on the end of America. I mean, so this has been a theme recurring here, right? And of course, we can go all the way back to the 30s, it can't happen here, or they thought they were free. This is not like a new kind of theme
for us. No, and look, I mean, you know, the corporate elites in this country have a long history of collaborating with fascism. As I write in my book, The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles and his brother John Foster Dulles, who ran the biggest law firm on Wall Street back in their day in the 1930s, Sullivan and Cromwell in New York, they were openly working with Nazi business interests in the run-up to World War II, during World War II even, and afterwards, when they allowed many of these officials who should have stood trial for war crimes to escape via Nazi rat lines, as they were called, these escape routes. You know, the New York elites, the corporate elites, saw that their business interests were in harmony with those of this rising German power. And so, look, they have no morality, these people. And as I write about in the book, you know, they'll do anything for their profits and their power. And they've sold out the American people again and again. And so then you have this, you know, fascist figure, clearly Trump, coming along and exploiting the fact that the political system has completely screwed and exploited the working people of this country and the poor. And so they're mad as hell. I can understand their fury. But unfortunately, now it's being channeled in a very dangerous way.
Well, David Talbot's riffing on that network theme, right? Mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. I guess that's the spin into the social justice approach. And so talk to us a little bit about what you might offer forward, certainly talking about it, understanding it, deconstructing this kind of power structure. But what can be done in the face of this mass corporate power and the plutocracy? Where can we give people the hope to fight against these trends?
Well, let's not forget, you know, back in the run-up to World War II in Nazi Germany during the Weimar period, there was a strong left. There was a trade union movement. There was a strong organized left. There was a strong socialist party. They fought literally in the streets against the Nazis and the brown shirts, against the rise of Hitler. And, you know, frankly, when I look at the state of the left today, Mickey, in America, I think that we're not as strong as the left was in pre-war Germany. So we need to organize. We need to organize, organize, organize. Get ourselves together to appeal to the working people of this country, to the people who feel so hard-pressed. And believe me, I know them. They're my neighbors. They're my friends. They're my family. We're all one paycheck away, most of us, from disaster. We were screwed by the banks after the stock market crash. They took our taxpayers' money and they sold us out. We're all barely holding onto our homes, many of us here in San Francisco. So what I've done is joined together with some other terrific progressives in San Francisco to form a group called SF Vision. We're fighting back every day. We're fighting to get people elected to the Board of Supervisors who can make a real difference. We succeeded in getting Aaron Peskin, who's a great progressive crusader, elected to the board last fall. He tipped the balance towards the progressives on the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and now he's put Mayor Ed Lee, who's in the pocket of the tech industry and the real estate industry, on the defensive. So politics can make a difference. Organizing can make a difference, and we have to get off our fannies, frankly, and get out there and start doing it.
David, you're absolutely our theme for Social Justice Week at Sonoma State. We have police brutality folks there, the Veterans for Peace, the Wage for $15 an Hour groups, the Justice in Palestine. I mean, it's a whole slew of folks around issues of social justice, oftentimes with very similar themes and power. And so you're the keynote for Monday night. And I think that's really important, and so did our student organizing group, to be able to think about the national security state, which is, of course, what the Devil's Chessboard book is about, and the history there, and how important it is for social activists to understand the degree to which we literally are emerging into a fascist police state in the United States today. And these are people who are activists, that they're engaged. You're going to spend all week. We got 30 hours of programming, and we're really happy to have you there Monday night kicking this off.
Thanks, Peter. You know, I'm so happy when I'm with our people, you know, who are fighting back. And people are doing so many important things. And as you say, at the grassroots level here in the Bay Area and across the country, you know, fighting every fight battle that has to be fought. But you're right. We all have to come together at this point. It's not just a question of, you know, focusing on our own initial issues. The issues are all linked. And one of the most important issues we need to understand is that as long as America is a permanent war state, that we're permanently at war somewhere in the world, and of course we have been throughout my entire life. I'm 64 years old, and we've seen the growth of this enormous national security state, this surveillance state, this big brother state. Then, you know, they can always use this against us in our efforts to rally people and at progressive reform. You know, the Muslim hysteria in this country is now off the charts, and you have, again, this leading Republican figure, Donald Trump, blatantly using this anti-Muslim hysteria the way that Hitler used hysteria against the Jews in the 1930s. You know, the famous Martin, the pastor, the German pastor.
Martin Niemöller,
his famous quote, which is so, I think, resonant today. First, they came for the socialists, and I was not a socialist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I was not a trade unionist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the Jews, and I was not a Jew, so I did nothing. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to save me. So that is the situation we're in today. You know, you may not be a Muslim, but they're coming after you next. If you're a dissident, if you are against an authoritarian government, we all have to rally together. And I'm so glad that there are these conferences like the one at Sonoma State. And, you know, because if we don't come together, they're going to pick us off one group at a time.
David Talbot, it's really important that we really have that, let that message resonate about community and working together. And, you know, you really are a great example of someone that goes from global to local and back again, whether it's the Devil's Chessboard and your work on the deep state issues or the housing crisis in San Francisco. There's so many facets to social justice. And we're, again, honored to have you here again today on the program. And we very much look forward to seeing you Monday night. So thank you very much for all of your work. Thanks for taking time out today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, thank you, Mickey.
That was David Talbot, author most recently of The Devil's Chessboard, Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the Rise of America's Secret Government. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. This is the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. Today's show is dedicated to the theme of social justice, and all of our guests today are part of the second annual Social Justice Week event at Sonoma State University, where we'll have over 35 community activists collectively participating between March 21 and 25. You can learn more at projectcensored.org, and you can contact us about how you can bring these kinds of events to your campus or your community. That's what we're trying to do here, is build more awareness around these issues of social justice. And after this musical break, we'll be back talking with Attila Negi and Susan Lamont. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. You say you want a revolution. Well, we're going to have one at Sonoma State University for Social Justice Week. We'll be talking about social justice issues, equity issues. We'll be highlighting the significance of diversity and people working together to make changes in the community on issues that go from local to global and back again. And our final two guests today are absolutely stalwart activists, and we are very pleased that we have them joining us on the Project Censored Show today. And here is Peter Phillips to introduce our guests to you. Peter?
Our two guests to wrap up the show, all both part of Social Justice Week, is Atella Nagy. He is a Sonoma County community activist for many, many years. He's president of the board at the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County. He's on the Comité Concilio Committee and the Petaluma Progressives. Helps organize the annual Progressive Festival each year. Also joining us is Susan Lamont. She's currently very active with the Police Brutality Coalition and a longtime activist with the Peace and Justice Center. Atella.
Peter.
Wonderful to have you.
Hi, Susan.
Susan, are you with us?
I am.
Susan, talk to us about the drama presentations that you're going to have.
Well, we're going to recreate the beatings that were at the jail, the Sonoma County Jail, the male special module. And it took place in May of 2015, and 20 prisoners were beaten repeatedly over a period of 5 hours, and we have letters from all of those inmates. And so last fall, we recreated that and did it eight times, I believe, at the Santa Rosa Mall. And we have guards, we have an inmate, we have Steve Freitas, who is the sheriff. We have Jill Ravitch, who is the district attorney. And so we reenact this, and the way in which the sheriff and the DA reacted, basically saying it never happened. So we have them doing that. So we'll be doing that multiple times. If it's not raining, out in front of the student union.
If it does rain, I'm sure we'll all work something out and get you inside.
Yeah, I know.
Atella Nagy, what level of participation will we see from you?
Besides being Sheriff Freitas in that skit, we'll also have the Peace and Justice Center will be doing a presentation on Wednesday also, and I think we'll be tabling Monday.
What's your focus right now at Peace and Justice Center?
We are going to actually do a presentation where we're going to ask students or whoever is going to be in the room with us what they want to see the Peace and Justice Center be active with. We're headlining this. We're going to make some flyers. WTF, are you thinking? And with a little explanation about what we want is input from the community, from especially young people, students, and I hope we do have a good audience, to speak about, you know, where they're at with activism, what they want to see change in this world, and what they want us to do in the community. How could we be assisting the community?
Well, Atella Nagy and Susan Lamont, next week's events is a great place to reach out to young people and see where they are involved. Sometimes it's not only the way of looking at it as like seeing how to get them involved. It's getting other people from other generations to realize that a lot of young people already are involved, but they're just involved in different ways and different places. And I think bringing all of these, bringing the varied generations together, bringing together multiple types of diversity, I mean, that's really, a strong theme here with Social Justice Week. And I think that there'll be a lot of opportunities for people to meet, to discuss, to talk, and really start to grow the social justice movements, not just in Northern California, but all around the country and around the world. Susan Lamont, can you comment on that?
Well, I would certainly hope to see that happen. We do tend to be in our own circles, and, you know, I find myself being active with a lot of gray hair. And occasionally somebody who's young will show up, but not that often. But particularly at the time of Occupy, it became clear that young people were active. They just weren't in our circles. So I'm hoping with our particular focus around law enforcement brutality that people will see this street theater that we're going to do, and that will draw them into the conversation, which is what happened at the mall, because we showed up with more than 300 flyers. And, you know, often you have trouble handing out flyers. Well, we ran out. People were so interested in what we were doing, and they wanted to know about it because the Press Democrat has not kept them informed. So they were all coming up and grabbing our flyers, and I'm hoping that by doing this demonstration, we will also have our flyers, but then it will be followed by an hour of four different local groups talking about law enforcement brutality in Sonoma County. And so we hope that the students will be interested in knowing more about that.
Susan, tell people what was the mall event? I don't know if people, you know, all over listening right now know what you're talking about when you say the mall event.
We did this street theater that we're going to do at Sonoma State. We did it on Black Friday. We went into the mall. We took all kinds of safety precautions because we were going to be wearing black ski masks like law enforcement wore. Attila was great. He made the connection to the security staff to make so that they knew what we were doing. We had huge signs saying that this was a reenactment, and then we reenacted the jail beating, you know, with people with batons and black ski masks, and, you know, so we did it, I think, about eight times. We did that over the course of a couple of hours, and that's what we're going to recreate on Monday.
I just want to say, hopefully your security is not going to get violent with us with ski masks.
This isn't UC Davis.
I've actually just gotten an email from one of the organizers saying that security, they are getting a little nervous. They want to see the video of what we did at the mall, and so they know exactly what it is we're going to be doing.
Well, they've certainly been alerted, and we'll certainly be connected with them. The campus security is pretty good about, you know, what's happening. And when we did demonstrations for Andy Lopez last year, they just stood politely off and watched. It's a college campus, and truth and accuracy about what's going on, people getting together about issues and some controversial issues, that's what a university is about. And we take pride in that. Sonoma State sociology students have organized this conference now 2 years in a row. And they were on earlier in the show, and they're just very proud that we've got all these community social activist groups coming in. They can actually earn credit for attending this. So students, if they attend 15 hours, can actually get a unit credit to the sociology department and extended ed. So it gives them a motive to be involved there as well. And it's certainly one of these places where the young people are. You know, when you say you go to meetings and it's all gray hairs, well, I go to those meetings too, and I've got gray hair.
Yeah, you do.
But then I see the young people every day, and I know that they're engaged and interested.
Yes, I mean, my own kids are. You know, I absolutely know that. It's just getting them to work together can be difficult. We often have different styles, different ways that we've grown up doing it since the 60s, and their models are not always the same, and sometimes we have a little trouble getting together. Support each other, yeah.
They know the war expenses are one of the reasons that they come out of college $20,000 in debt, which is the average at the state colleges now.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely insane.
Attila and Susan, can you each give us a website where people can learn more about the respective organizations and the work you do, Facebook connections, any of that kind of thing, so people can follow more about what's going on with you all?
When we get together for the forum on Monday afternoon, we are going to be four different groups, and a couple of them have websites. So Code Pink is going to be there discussing Urban Shield. So Code Pink has website. And
CodePink.org.
And Patchline.org, which is the Police Accountability Clinic and Helpline, which keeps statistics and stories of law enforcement brutality in Sonoma County. So they're going to be there, and they have a website.
Mm-hmm. We're just trying to get people information, how they get involved. You can go to ProjectCenter.org and learn more about the Social Justice Conference. Attila.
PJCSonoma.org.
Say that again, Attila Negi.
PJCSonoma.org.
Thank you very much. We certainly encourage our listeners to check out these resources and join us for Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University. Attila Negi, Susan Lamont, thanks so much for joining us on the Project Censored Show today.
Thank you, guys.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Every day is a different theme, so it's very important to go and look online to see what the things we'll be talking about. Monday is police brutality. We'll have David Talbot as a keynote speaker. On Tuesday, it's Women's Justice Day. There'll be events all day, including films like The Hunting Ground, Linda Sartor, Turning Fear into Power. We'll be there. Wednesday is going to be Domestic Affairs Day, and it will cap off with a keynote speaker by Davey D from KPFA. Thursday's Foreign Affairs Affairs Day. Project Censored will be there at noon. Nuclear Savage will play. Fukushima Response will be there. Peter's on a panel, Borderless World, in the evening. And Friday is Social Justice Documentary Day. So go to projectcensored.org and find out more about how you can get involved in these events. And Friday night is Medea Benjamin. So that's going to finalize the Social Justice Day and Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University.
This is the Project Censored Show. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. On today's program, we've heard about some of the topics and speakers at Social Justice Week at Sonoma State University in Northern California, where Peter is a faculty member. For next week's show, we'll have Medea Benjamin, longtime peace activist and founder of the organization Code Pink. Here's an excerpt from that conversation.
You've been involved in protest actions around labor rights, corporate responsibility, Israel, Palestine, Iraq, drones. What is your primary activity right now?
I'm working now on what I consider one of the elephants in the room around foreign policy, and that's Saudi Arabia. Here, the U.S. is involved in all kinds of wars in the Middle East that most Americans can't even figure out because it is indeed very complicated. And they know we have this ally, Israel, that somehow people have been convinced to think is a democratic country. And then there is Saudi Arabia, the greatest U.S. Arab ally in the region that we have been allied with since its founding in 1932. 12 presidents, Democratic and Republican, have all kept up this relationship. And it's just a disaster. It's a disaster because it's one of the most repressive regimes in the world towards its own people. And it's a disaster because the Saudis are spreading the very extremism that we say we're trying to counter. So that's what I'm focusing on right now, is how do we really build a movement to challenge the U.S.-Saudi relationship?
Medea Benjamin, do you see any headway on that? You just gave a quick snapshot of the history of sort of the problem there about how, you know, the U.S. allies in the region, particularly with Saudi Arabia, which is quite troublesome. Are you seeing any headway when you're going around and speaking? Are you seeing any cracks in that kind of alliance? What is your view on that as far as where we're heading?
Give us a little time, Mickey, since we just started about 2 weeks ago.
Right. Well, yeah, you're up against a big timeline there as far as decades and decades of that go. But this is certainly a heartening endeavor.
But it's a good time to do it because so many things are changing in the region and internally. The U.S. used to be very dependent on Saudi Arabia for oil. Now we only get 10% of our oil from Saudi Arabia, which does have its negative flip side because they've made their imported oil so cheap that they've destroyed a lot of the fracking industry, which is a good thing. But anyway, that's a complication we could get into. So we're not dependent on them for oil anymore. Perhaps more dependent is on weapon sales. They are the number one purchaser of U.S. weapons, massive amounts of weapons. In fact, since 2010, the deals go into almost $100 billion worth of weapons. And unfortunately, the U.S. media has not been covering the Saudi war in Yemen, where bombings are occurring every single day with U.S. weapons that are destroying hospitals and marketplaces. In fact, a marketplace was hit and over 140 people died. We are directly related to what's going on there. In fact, there's even U.S. cluster bombs, weapons that the international community has banned, that are being produced in this country, sold to the Saudis, and killing Yemenis. There's a lot of things that we have to focus on. We're teaming up with people in Europe who are starting to not only build, but actually have some success in banning weapon sales to Saudi Arabia from their countries. And we're starting to make some inroads with at least getting some members of Congress to start speaking out about this. So it's an important time to focus on Saudi Arabia. And I think if you talk to us a year from now, we'll hopefully have some successes in at least more distance between the U.S. and the Saudis.
Well, we'll certainly do that, Medea Benjamin, as follow-up just even throughout this year. But this is also not just a heartening endeavor, but a timely one, as there are certainly problems and some discontent within Saudi Arabia. Is that not true?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's hard to gauge how much because the government is so repressive. Even people who write blogs are sentenced to 15 years in prison and 1,000 lashes, like the case of Raif Badawi. People are not allowed freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, no political parties. The lawyers defending any of the dissidents are themselves arrested and put on trial and put away. They recently executed 47 people in the beginning of this year, among them a very prominent member of the Shia community, which is a minority religious community in Saudi Arabia, a peaceful dissenter. And there are three people who were arrested when they were juveniles, 15 and 17 years old, who are on death row in Saudi Arabia for peaceful dissent. They're also members of the Shia community. They've been sentenced to execution by beheading and then crucifixion, meaning their bodies would be put up on a pole for several days for the public to view. I mean, this is really a regime that is quite disgusting, and it's shameful that the U.S. considers this country an ally. But this issue about dissent, we do know that certainly in the Shia community, which is 10 to 15% of the population, there is a lot of discontent. And we know through the internet, because that's one of the only spaces that people have available, where people can talk even anonymously to each other, that the lowering of the price of oil has caused an economic crisis. The government has had to cut all kinds of subsidies to the population, and this is increasing the discontent internally. So, yes, there's a lot of turmoil that we don't hear or necessarily even see, but it's happening.
The Saudi cutting of oil has been linked to the U.S. desire to undermine both Venezuela and Russia in terms of oil prices, and weaken those governments, and at the same time increase weapon sales to the Saudis and their involvement in Yemen. It's a wild theater of war and lies. I mean, certainly the U.S. is saying that human rights is the number one concern of building democracy, yet we're in bed literally with this despot, a monarchy, who's been funding a major part of what's going on in Syria.
Well, that's right. And I just spoke to Larry Wilkerson, who was the chief of staff for Colin Powell, and he said straight out, the Saudis are funding ISIS. I said, how do you know that? He says, I know it. The Saudis are funding al-Qaeda groups in Syria. The Saudis are and this is not even to go back to the origins of where does the ideology for these extremist groups come from, and it comes from Saudi Wahhabism. So the Saudis are providing the ideological underpinnings for these extremist groups, and they're also providing funding for them. So it is quite a wild configuration when you try to unravel it. But the end result is that the U.S. is in bed with the regime that is causing many of the very problems that we are supposedly fighting.
That's Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the women's peace organization Code Pink. Tune in to Project Censored next week to hear the full interview. Also on next week's show will be nuclear power whistleblower Arnie Gunderson, who recently returned from a visit to Fukushima, Japan.
I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. Thanks for joining us on the Project Censored Show today. We air on 32 stations across the U.S. from Maui to New York. Anthony Fest is our producer. Erica Bridgman is our engineer. Thank you so much for joining us. Follow and like us on Facebook. To learn more, go to projectcensored.org. We'll see you next time.
Supporting human conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politics.